for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, May the 26th, 2007. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service teaching on The Kingdom, Part 3. Part 1 is 06LH CD 12-12. Part 2 is 06LH CD 11-5 and can be ordered online at LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Right. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. By faith. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be, what? Made the righteousness of God in him. That's where our righteousness is, in him. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall, what? Make, not even sent, it's make. You were made free. You know, I could set something free and go back and catch it and put it back in bondage. But when you're made free, we were made free. We are free. We sang it. We are free. Titus 3:7, that being justified by His grace, we should what? Be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, it's not anything we do. It's not anything we do to get that way. Romans 8:15, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. See, after that encounter with Jesus, I knew who I was. I was the child of God. I wasn't even my mother and daddy's child anymore. I still honored them. But the next time I got with them, I thought, weird. It's like, they're like my brother and sister in Christ. They no longer had that obedience thing. God said, stop trying to live up to everybody's expectations, even your own. You live your life to please me, and you don't have to worry about anybody else. That was freedom. I mean, I was made free. The definition of, okay, wait. And if children, then heirs. Joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The child of God, an heir of God, and joint heirs with Jesus. And that word heir, in its original sense of positioning, means a sharer by lot. A person who inherits or is entitled to inherit property. Joint heir is a co-heir in or to the same degree or a partner. See, we are partners with Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn and we came after. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. Have you truly received him? Truly received him, because all this comes through him. And a lot of us have received him, but we didn't know what came with the package. And my people are destroyed, he said, for lack of knowledge. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Who is Jesus? The Son of God. So shouldn't we be like Jesus, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And listen to this. Of His fullness have all we received. We have received His fullness. Did we know that? I'm not sure. But I'm getting it. We have received His fullness. And that means, fullness means level up a hollow. Level up a hollow. You take an empty vessel and pour water in it, and it levels up. Full. Nothing lacking. Full. It means imbue or permeate like a sponge. Infuse. To put in as if by pouring. Now, you know what? The Holy Ghost, and I don't have this scripture in my notes, and I should have written it down. When the Holy Ghost descended from heaven and rested on Jesus, it says He came. One account says that the Holy Ghost descended in bodily form. Not in the form of a dove. In bodily form. The Holy Ghost came down on Jesus, and it was shaped like Jesus because it filled Him in His form. Hollowed up. Leveled up a hollow. Nothing left. When the Holy Ghost descends, it said like a dove because they saw the Spirit in it. You know, like a dove flies. It didn't look like a dove. You know, we can grab the funniest things. I mean, I have nothing against a dove. I love it. But that is not the Holy Ghost. We have adopted that as the symbol. But the Word says that the Holy Ghost descended in bodily form, like a dove flies. You see? But a dove didn't go and land on Jesus and He got filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a person. And it came down in a bodily form and filled Jesus up and empowered Him. It's the Spirit of God. God's Spirit came down and filled Him up. And He was empowered. And the same thing happened to you. Filled up. The Spirit of God. He said, I've got to go. Because right now it's just me and a few other folk. But I got to go so I can send this to everybody and get the job done. We've got work to do. John 17:22. And the glory... Oh, wait. And that the word received means to take and to get a hold of rather than just having it offered to you. Receive means you take it. You get a hold of it. You don't just... It's not something that's just offered to you. Okay? Of His fullness have we all received. John 17:22. Jesus said, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. Now, something's important there because in that prayer that Jesus prayed, He's talking to the Father concerning the disciples. But it also says, and I pray these things not only for them, but for those who will believe by their word. So that's us. Everything He prayed for the disciples is for us. And He said, the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them and Thou in me, that they may be what? Made perfect. You know, when He looks at us, He sees us finished already. He sees us finished. Aren't you glad? Made perfect. You're not going to get perfect. Made perfect. Now be ye perfect. See how that works? Sounds really easy, doesn't it? And that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Do you really believe that? That he loves you just like he loved Jesus? He loves you just like he loved Jesus. That's awesome. God is love. You know, most of the things that we struggle with, it's just plain and simple a love issue. You need deliverance? Ask God for more of his love. Because as he pours it into you, it's got to go. It's got to go out. Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says about reconciliation. In the body of his flesh to present you, what? Holy and unblameable. Not only holy and unblameable, but unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. See, there's a maintaining. When you go in and possess your land, you can't back up. You got to maintain and go forward. I used to be on the defense all the time. I'm on the offense now. Verse 20 in 17. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. See, there we are. That's where we fit in. Through their word. Those that believe on me through their word. He prayed. Go read that John chapter 17 sometime and just see what Jesus wants for you. And then read it out loud and say, Lord, I receive this by faith. I receive this by faith. So, do y'all believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he was the Christ, the Anointed One? That he had power to heal the sick? To cast out demons? To raise the dead? To walk on water? That he had authority, all authority from God? And that he worked the works? Do you believe that God loved Jesus? Do you believe that God loves you just as he loved Jesus? John 17:23, Jesus said, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And we must believe that if we're going to do anything for him. Matthew 13:58, and he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Unbelief is why we don't know who we are in Christ. Because we just read all these things. But if we truly believed it, we would behave differently. We really would. Maybe that's why the church is lacking in the mighty works that we want to see. Because of unbelief. Unbelief is what kept the Israelites from going into the promised land. Unbelief is a faith killer. And it instills fear and doubt. Jesus constantly was telling them, fear not. Luke 8:50, fear not, only believe. Remember when the little girl, he was going to go heal the little girl, and then she died? And he came and said, don't bother, she's dead. Jesus said, hey, fear not, only believe. Only believe. Mark 11:23, believe in your heart and not doubt. Doubt means to withdraw, hesitate, oppose, and to waver in opinion. Matthew 15:30, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? That's when Peter sunk. Just a second before that, he was walking on the water. And then he looked around and saw the wind and waves, and whew, down he went. Matthew 8:26, in the boat, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Lord, if you don't wake up, we're going to die. Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Luke 8:25, where is your faith, he said. Mark 4:40, he said, how is it that you have no faith? Look at Matthew 17:14. Matthew 17:14. This is a passage that's read a whole lot. Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. And oft times he falls into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him here to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, How long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, It wasn't because it was a big, bad, stronger demon. They just did not have the faith. They didn't believe because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit this unbelief goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now they, see, when Jesus was speaking this to them, they didn't have the scriptures. They couldn't go back and read all of his scriptures about faith. We have that. We have way more than they had. They had to pray and fast to break that spirit of unbelief in them. There was no written word under the new covenant at that time. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. You know what Jesus said to the disciples when they said, Lord, what must we do to work the works of God? And he said in verse 29, John 6:29, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. So belief and faith are synonymous. So our behavior tells on us, because if we believed it, we would do it. Right? Let me tell you how God relayed the scripture to me about judgment must begin at the house of God. We are the house of God, right? That the judgment, it's two different ways, his judgment on the church. But it also said to me that the church will demonstrate what they judge God's word and judge God to be by the way we behave. We judge God. We judge his word. I don't believe that. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, we're judging the word. We make a decision. We make a judgment call when we don't obey his word. That's exactly what Eve and Adam did. God said, but they thought about it and decided to do something other than that. Right? And we do it all the time. And we are judging. The judgment is in the house of God. We're judging God in his word with our unbelief and with our disobedience, our lawlessness, our unrighteousness. Does that make sense? We judge his word and him. And that judgment will begin in the house. The judgment can't be on the world because they don't even have God. They don't even have his word. That's why judgment's going to start right here. We're going to judge. We'll decide whether God is who he says he is or not. Now, this is exciting. Look at Luke 17. This has changed my life. Luke 17. This is another time that faith is being talked about. Another time that they were challenged to change their thinking. Luke 17. Jesus has given them a talk, and he says, look, it's impossible, verse 1, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother trespassed against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he trespassed against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day again turns to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the disciples said, can you just see him? Up until now, it was like an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Hate your enemies. Love your neighbor. You know, that means be good to those that are good to you, but hate your enemies. Because your neighbors, you usually try to live peaceably with your neighbors. So you can love them because you want them to love you back. But you hate your enemies and, you know, pray wicked things against them. Now it's being said, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they do it 7 times in one day, and they're going, what? What? They're looking at all each other, all the 12 of them. What? Did you hear what he said? Oh, my gosh, you can do that. Lord, increase our faith. Right? Because who can do that? This was brand new stuff to them. Who on earth? Did you hear what he said? Forgive. We'd rather kill them. Let's stone them. They had to change their thinking. We read this and we don't really think how shocking this was to them. Who can do that? Lord, increase our faith so that we can do that. Jesus basically says, you don't even have any faith. If you had this much faith. Well, let me read his words. If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. That was different, too. We're going to speak to this tree. So now he says, okay, let me make this clear to you. This is how it works. Which of you, having a servant, now you understand that they understood what having servants were. They told the servant, servants served you, right? They had a job. They understood the relationship between a person who had a servant and the servant. They understood the difference. So Jesus uses that. Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he comes in from the field, go sit down and eat, but would not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards you can eat and drink. Now they understand that. Jesus said, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? In the King James it says, I trow not, which means I don't think so. No, a servant says, you feed me. You know, they've been working in the field all day long. They're tired, they're hot, they're dirty, they're hungry. And yet they come in and the master says to him, you see to me first and then you can eat. Right? That's what a servant does. And he commands him to do that. And the servant does it. There's no arguing there. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. You're not going to be saying, we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. See, our faith works for us. But we haven't really known that it is apart from us. It's a different thing in us. It's not us, but our faith. We have the faith of God in us because, remember, we've been filled with His fullness. We even have His faith. And Jesus is saying, you're going to command your faith, like saying to that tree, you're going to command your faith, right? So I did a little word study on commanded because it says, does he thank the servant because he did the things that were commanded him? And that word command means to say. To say. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said. Then I thought about some other things. It was said to Daniel, I am come for thy words. Right? God heard what he said, and he came. The angel was sent because of his words, what he spoke. To Jeremiah, it says in chapter 1, verse 12, God said to Jeremiah, I watch over my word to perform it. Right? Isaiah 55:11, God said through Isaiah, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper whereto I sent it. Right? That's powerful. James 3:6 says that our tongue, that little wicked member, it sets on fire the course of nature. So when you speak, it goes. It does what we command. We can command our faith. Are y'all getting that? It's like our faith. I saw this, like my faith is like a servant to me. I will put it to work. I will command with my faith. I will command and then watch. See, this is new for me too, that I've begun to walk in my house and pray, and I command those demons to loose my children in the name of Jesus. I mean, it is time to begin to use our faith and the power to command our faith. Jesus, they said, increase our faith. And he said, hey, if you had this much faith, you would say, and it would whatever you command. That's exciting to me. That is so exciting to me. My faith. James said, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. It's time to start working, putting our faith to work like a servant. Does that make sense? Remember when Satan said to Jesus, if you really are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned to bread. Why did he say that? He wouldn't have said that to an ordinary man. Ordinary man couldn't command anything. But he knew that Jesus, what Jesus commanded. And then all of a sudden I understood why Jesus was so impressed with the centurion. Matthew 8:8-10. The centurion answered and said, remember his servant was sick. And Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion, who's not even an Israelite. What was the centurion? Was he Roman? What was he? He was a soldier, right? What kind of a soldier? He wasn't an Israelite, was he? No. He was not even God's chosen people. Yeah. I'm kind of fond of him, actually. I've got some in my family that are powerful. The centurion was a soldier, but he knew that Jesus was a man. He had seen the works. He was convinced this man had something, and his servant was sick, and he needed help. So he went to Jesus, and Jesus said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority. He was a soldier. He had on a uniform. That uniform, the man didn't have any authority. But the uniform that he wore, just like a policeman, had authority. He had a position in the army of one with authority over some other men. He had men over him too, but he knew his authority. So he says, I'm also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come. And he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. Right? When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, not even among God's own people, have I seen so great faith. Now he equaled faith with that man knowing authority, right? And so we have authority to command our faith. And when we know who we are in Christ, we understand our authority and it gets the job done. He was not even a Jew, not even one of God's chosen people, but he understood his authority. Do you understand your authority? We should after today. We are full of him. He has authority. We really don't. But it says we do. I'm not a dead dog. Are you? I'm not a grasshopper. Are you? Don't you want your inheritance? And it's not just for the inheritance. We get it first so we can give it. You can't give anything you haven't got. Once you get it, you can give it. That's the whole plan. You get it this way first. The love of God in you, then you can love her. You can love him. See, we can see a lot of our problems. It's a love issue. Here first, then here. We must understand our position in Christ. He called the understanding of authority faith. Did he not? Not only faith, so great faith. Until we believe who we are, until we truly believe we are who he says we are, we will never attempt to do the works that he did. We must begin. It's time, church, to take our God-given place as kingdom people filled with his fullness, his power, his authority, his faith, so that we can be about establishing the kingdom. So he can come and rule and reign, and we will rule and reign with him because we're joint heirs with Christ. Judgment will begin at the house of God with us. So, let's pray. And I want y'all to repeat this after me. Father, forgive me for not believing that I am who you say I am. I choose to believe your word. That has to be a decision. Did you know that? Make that decision. If you make the decision, you won't waver anymore. You know what wavering is? You haven't made a decision. Doubt means you haven't made a decision. Let's make a decision today. I choose to believe your word. I am your child. I am a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. I am your heir. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You love me the same as you loved him. Lord, I receive that love right now in its fullness. I have received his fullness. I have received Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have been empowered to become like him. His very power is in me. It is written that I will do the same works he did and greater works. And I believe it. You know, we love the scripture that says, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So the rest of that is according to the power that worketh within you. See, we're waiting on him to use his power. He's waiting on us to use his power. Lord, I will seize opportunities when they arise. I will work my faith. I will walk in my new identity. Okay, now I'm going to bind some spirits. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of doubt, and I command it to leave God's people in Jesus' name. Every spirit of doubt, every spirit of unbelief, if it was caused by the Antichrist spirit, I bind the Antichrist spirit and command it to go right now. All Antichrist spirits, go in Jesus' name. I speak to the spirit of skepticism, go. And double-mindedness, I bind you right now in Jesus' name and command you to go. I speak to the grasshopper spirit. I bind you and break your power off God's people in the name of Jesus. I speak to the spirit of the lame man in every person. I bind the spirit of the lame man in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of seeing yourself as a dead dog. I bind the spirit of seeing yourself as unworthy. I bind the spirit of seeing yourself as weak and ineffective in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of dejection and being cast down, the cast down spirit. The spirit of sadness, the spirit of depression and failure. I bind all spirits of failure and fear of failure in the name of Jesus. I command you to go right now. Leave God's people in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirit of passivity and laziness in Jesus' name, of complacency and procrastination. Go in Jesus' name. I break those powers in Jesus' name and command them to leave. Go in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of being impaired or halted. Impaired or halted. All spirits of being impaired are stuck, and doing nothing. I bind that spirit. I break your power and command you to go. All spirits of paralyzation, being paralyzed by past failures, in the name of Jesus, I break your power and command you to go. All spirits of defeat, go. Being defeated, not even trying because you're afraid you're going to be defeated. Go, in Jesus' name. I come against all spirits of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness of others and unforgiveness of yourself. I break the spirit of unforgiveness of yourself for your failures in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of cowardice or intimidation and timidity, inferiority, thoughts of inferiority, spirits of inferiority. Go in Jesus' name. Seeing yourself less than who God says you are, I bind you and I command you to go in Jesus' name. I come against all mind-binding spirits, all mind-blinding spirits, spiritual deafness, dumbness, and blindness. Go in Jesus' name. Every hindering spirit, every blocking spirit, I command you to go in Jesus' name. And I want to address the bastard spirit because this is a spirit that can also make you feel all these things. Less than, like God doesn't love you. We've already covered all that. Do you know that He loves you? He loves the children. The bastards are the ones that are on the outside looking in. You're not on the outside looking in. He has brought you in. You are in Him. You're not on the outside anymore. So I come against all bastard spirits that cause you to feel unloved and not good enough and having to be perfect to be accepted. You are accepted in the Beloved. He has made you righteous. Lord, I release power. I stir up the power that You have given each one of us to go forth and establish Your kingdom, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to preach the gospel. Lord, whatever You have done on this earth, I release us to go and do likewise in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I bless the people. I bless them, Lord. Lord, just pour out Your blessings. Pour out Your love. Lord, let an anointing of Your love fall right now on each person. If they've never truly received and felt the wonderful love that You have for them, I ask that You would send it now, Lord. A special anointing of Your love. Let them receive Your love in its fullness, Lord. Yes, Lord. Open our eyes to see who we truly are, Lord, so that we can be about Your business. Lord, that we will be working the work. Lord, that we will continue what You left us here to do, that we will be doing it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Father. We just thank You. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for shedding, Lord, every drop of Your blood so that we could be Your children and Your fellow workers, Lord. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.